Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Texas Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermenministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us at Grace Chapel out here at Grace Ranch. Let us praise and worship the Lord.
Lay aside your majesty, give up everything for me. Suffer at the hands of those you had created. You took all my guilt and shame.
Dear Lord, we come before you today and we just ask that you give us the words you want us to hear, Lord, that you give us the interpretation of those words, that you give us the meaning. And we thank you, Lord, for the ability to come together and to hear your words, Lord, whether it be sitting in this building of yours or whether it be online. And we just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. And we praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.
He is Lord. Every knee shall
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer.
Well, amen. I was thinking earlier, I do that every once in a while. And while I was listening to the other services this morning, this just kind of trickled in. Is anybody else around here like ice cream? We love it when it's cold and frosty, especially on an extremely hot day. But it's not so good when it gets hot. And I mean totally melted with no coldness left in it. Our lives are just like that ice cream. When we first come to the Lord, we're frosty for the Lord, aren't we? We're willing to do anything, all the time, consistently, without fail. You see it all the time in the churches. People run in, they're there every single time that door opens. They are looking for anything they can do for the Lord. But over time, they start to get a little warmed up. Over time in my life, I've gotten warmed up to the point where I was that melted stuff on the ground that no longer resembled ice cream. It was just kind of this flat, dry patch. And I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one who's gotten to that state. It's kind of like freeze-dried ice cream. You drop it on the ground, it turns to powder. But thanks to Jesus Christ, you can take that powder. You can take that dried up mess that you've become, and you can add water to it, and you can refreeze it, and it comes back to that state. And I know I've been there dozens of times where I've been frosty. I'm ready to go. Doesn't matter what it is, where it is. But then there's been those other times where it's like, again, instead of again. Can anybody else relate to this? Has anybody else ever had this lack of frostiness? You know, where it's kind of, here we go again. Praise God, though. Praise God that we can turn that around ourselves. We can be frosty for Jesus Christ every day if we choose that. If we don't let the cares of the world dig in and heat it up to where it is no longer useful. His mercy and His grace is sufficient for all of us. And we can't let anything stand in that way. We can't let anything come into that path. And it's a constant fight against this flesh to keep this flesh down and to walk and live in the Spirit. But we can do it. It is possible. It's every day making that choice and choosing to live for Jesus Christ. Choosing to do what He has for you to do. Whether it be from Steve, from Davey, from Robin, from Ann, from myself, from Cheryl, from Melanie, from Megan, it doesn't matter. Stay frosty. Be ready to go out and do that thing. If nothing's going on, look for that thing. Find that area that you can stand up in Find that area where you can help and assist. Find that area where you can do God's work. Amen.
Be that wait upon the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk.
Give the Lord a cheer.
Amen. It's pretty easy for ice cream to melt. From Bob's analogy there, I've been melted a few times myself. In the Word, we see where silver or gold is heated. And what is it called, Steve? What's that? Yes, it's removed and heated and removed. Similar to what Bob's talking about. That heat that causes us to get to a point where we can see the imperfections, the unrighteousness that's within us, is an opportunity for us to shed ourselves of that, to have it skimmed, to have it removed, so that we can either be refrozen, as Bob was saying, or we can be purified. But yeah, I want to turn over to Mark. Mark chapter 9. I'm going to read a few verses. There's one in particular I want to focus on. We'll go back to that after I finish this section. Mark 9, I'm going to start reading at 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whosoever he wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when they saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground, and wallowing, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, this kind come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now, the verse that I wanted to talk about today was 24. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. The recognition that you have unbelief, that's a good starting point. Because it's unbelief that separates us from God. It's what separated them in the desert. Only two made it in. The rest perished because of unbelief. We stagger in our walk with Christ because of unbelief. We waver because of unbelief. Because of unbelief, we have fears, cares. We take our eyes off Christ in our daily walk, in our lives, because of unbelief. We melt like that ice cream because of unbelief. The result of that is we miss the good things that God has for each and every one of us. We pass it by. Don't even recognize it. Don't see it. For me, I got too much unbelief. I suspect many of you do. Some more than others. But for the part of the unbelief that I see in myself, it's kind of scary because I think of it kind of like an iceberg. You know, you only see the top 10% of that iceberg, you know, coming through the ocean. The other 90% is below the surface. You know, so the unbelief that I see in myself is only that tip little 10%. And that freaking scares me. And when I start to really consider the rest of that iceberg that's underneath the surface, it'll get you to a point where you start to lose hope, where you start to wonder. That's when you need to focus on Jesus. That's where the hope is. That is our only hope. See, the prayer of this man, what was it? Help thou mine unbelief. Help thou mine unbelief, Lord. That's a prayer for each and every one of us. That's a prayer that the Lord will answer. That's a prayer that'll move each and every one of us closer to Him. I think that's a prayer that each and every one of us should consider. If we can get rid of the unbelief that's within us, and we can share the love of God with others around us, imagine. Just imagine how different our lives would look, how different our communities would look. So we bring Jesus Christ into the equation, and all things are possible. Amen?
Amen.
Praise you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. I liked your talk about what you were talking about unbelief. A couple things I want to hit on in that, and that is, one, what the carnal mind does when we dwell in unbelief is it provides us the justification. That's what it does. Provides us the justification for our unbelief. Finds fault with others. It's, you know, just a myriad of different things. The only way you pass through that is by humbling yourself. It's the only way you pass through that. You can't fix a problem until you acknowledge a problem. When you acknowledge the problem, now the Lord can work with you to fix it. It's no problem. He specializes in fixing problems. There's no problem you got that's too big for him, praise God. But you also have to make a choice to believe. See, what Abraham did that was amazing about Abraham is it talks about how Abraham hoped against hope. And really that was when hope ran out, he chose yet to have hope again. And that's that part that Scott's talking about when he says, you got to go back to the Lord. Because that's how you express your hope in him, is by going back to him. But I don't know about others, but I mean myself, because see, walking in unbelief, one of the things that always amazed me with folks when I first came to the Lord was how many people always talked to me about how they had no problem believing Jesus. Now, every single person who said that to me is long gone. I mean, long gone. Left years ago. And it always used to make me feel bad when they would talk that way. Because they would talk that way, and all I was thinking is, oh my God, I wish I was like them, because it seems to take everything in me to believe. I always felt like my belief was like this piece of dental floss I was hanging on to, and it didn't seem nearly strong enough to hold me, and I was going to fall off a cliff if it let loose. But it made me cleave and hang on to that, wrap it around my wrist and every other thing to not let go of it. And I share that with you because, see, at the end, I mean, our work is to believe God. We believe God, we enter into His rest. We believe God, our sins are washed away. We believe God, everything that comes to walking in the Lord begins and ends, well, actually begins with believing Him. It ends with loving Him and loving one another. And that's something each and every one of us can do. And I was thinking today, we were singing songs at the beginning, and it was amazing. Every song you guys sang in the first phase, it had this one word in it. It's a four-letter word, interestingly. People, you always get people's attention when you say it was a four-letter word. It was like, pray tell, what four-letter word might that have been? The four-letter word was Lord. Was Lord. See, and one of the things is, see, calling Him Lord and Him actually being your Lord, they are two different things. Anybody can say the words. Anybody can say those words. But for Him to actually be your Lord requires something of you that very few are willing to do. When He's your Lord, it means you give up everything for Him. You give it all up. You give it all up for Him. Now, it's interesting to me as I say that, because, of course, if you look out here in the world today, you have this word that gets thrown around, and as soon as the word gets thrown around with respect to anyone or any ministry or anything, it's like it's the stain that cannot be removed. And the stain that cannot be removed that's shared out here in the world today is the word cult, right? That one is like the word that you bring up that word or you put it on anybody or on any ministry or anything. It's like the death knell, and you can hear, you know, that tree's been marked and it's coming down or what have you. And the fact of the matter is the definition of a cult is that it's people who follow the teachings of a man. And the man whose teachings we follow is Jesus Christ. But the part that is the thing about it, that's the reason why it's associated more with like Christianity than just about anything, is because of the Lord. Because of the Lord. You give up everything for Him. Everything. And that's why you hear it associated with Christianity. And that's why you hear it bantied about in Christianity a lot, is because when people see others doing that, people get offended. People say there's something wrong. People say all kinds of things. And let me tell you something, folks. If you're going to be a minister of the Lord, you're going to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, Paul says it multiple times. Jude says it. All the guys say it, right? They call themselves servants of the Lord Jesus Christ and apostles. Now, it seems like two things that are opposite, right? Because apostleship is a very high calling, is it not? It gives you great authority in the Lord and in His body called the church. And yet, the fact of the matter is underlying all of that, all you are is a servant. See, and people look at the authority on the one hand, and they fail to see the giving up of the life on the other hand. Mostly because we can't see the Lord, can we? We can't see him. Who's seen Jesus Christ down here? Not me. I don't see a bunch of hands going up out here. And so our Lord, we do not see. We see his ministers, which is what other people see too, which is why these words come up. And it's why these words will sometimes run through people's minds when there's something they don't want to give up, but that the Lord would have them give up. See, the things that we, generally the things that we're willing to give up are the things we already didn't like. All of us have those aspects of our life, right? We all have that aspect of the things we didn't like, the things that kept getting us into trouble, the things that were screwing everything up. We're fine with getting rid of that stuff. And we're glad to have a Savior. But there are things that we like, that we think somehow are good, and the like, that part we have a harder time with. And what ends up happening a lot of times is that as a minister, because people aren't, you know, nah, that can't be of the Lord. Nah, you know, they just kind of slough off these thoughts, you know, of the things that they like and they think are valuable. You just kind of slough them off. That can't be of God. So then some minister comes around and points it out to you, and now who's the bad guy? The minister who points it out to you. And people do, and you'll see out here, people will do things because, well, the minister pointed it out to them, and they'll do it. And they'll do it begrudgingly. And you know what happens? They never get the blessing of God. They never get the blessing of God. And the reason why they don't get the blessing of God is because they've never embraced that thing and recognized that they really ought to get rid of it. They really ought to. It's not a good thing for them. And see, the difference, what happens is that when you come to the realization that a thing is something that's actually good for you to get rid of, that you really should not hang on to that anymore, and you're glad to get shed of it, now you can minister the same unto others. You can see it on others. Now the beam that was in your eye gets removed, and you can see the little, what is it that they say? The mote that's in your brother's eye, and you can see it clearly to help your brother out. And you can see it with compassion because you recognize, you know what? That's a very small thing. You should have seen what I had, man. That sucker stuck out 12 feet. You follow what I'm saying? And you can then, that's that place where you've now digested that thing that was hard. You've embraced that it was actually an issue and something you wanted to get off. And now you can minister clearly unto others who may be struggling with some of the same issues. That's how the Lord works with us. You know, if you looked at Bob's thing and stuff, what causes the ice cream to melt is what? Disobedience. Basically, when it comes down, disobedience causes friction, which causes heat. Right? It's the disobedience that causes us to get to those places. Because we don't like the lordship part. But it's an amazing promise, and I want to share this promise with you. The promise of God is that we get to be godly. You know what godly is? It means we get to be like him. Now, I don't think there's a single one of us here who, reading the scripture, although we sometimes struggle to perceive Jesus as he really is, as opposed to the way we like to think of him as this really nice guy all the time who never says anything that's hard or what have you. But nobody, even when you embrace that, is going to quibble with the fact that the man was awesome. I mean, awesome. Awesome beyond anything any of us have ever seen any other man walk in, period, end of story, done. Is that not the case? I mean, he healed the sick, he cast out devils, he raised the dead, he was willing to die for me on that cross. There's nothing, the extraordinary nature and loving kindness of God exceeds anything we have ever seen. Because even the best of his ministers don't walk in the fullness of what he walked in. He exceeds us all abundantly. But what his promise is to us, what his promise is that if we will lay down our lives and we'll cease from our works and we will but believe him and receive his love, that we can walk in his love and in his power just as he showed us in the scripture, that's exactly what we'll get to do. All the time. It never changes your flesh. Your flesh will continue to be as foul and ugly and everything else as it ever was. That'll never change until you die and it's gone. But you no longer have to be ruled by it. You no longer have to operate in it. You no longer have to do any of that. And you get to partake of his divine nature and minister that same divine nature that saves you and that delivered you unto everybody you come into contact with who will receive it. And I mentioned that last part, who will receive it, because plenty of people won't receive it, and you can't get hung up about that either. You can't. You'd spend your time with the ones who do. And the ones who don't, they may change their mind later. Praise God. Then you minister it unto them. What's it matter what happened in between? Nothing of it matters. Nothing of it matters. But we can't do anything of any of these things but by him. Can't do any of it but by him. But by him we can do it all. And that's what the call of this fellowship is. And this is a crucible out here at Grace Ranch for those of us who are out here, in which to get shed of all the stupidity and stupid stuff that holds us back and prevents us from walking in the fullness of the grace of God and in his love and ministering it one to another. And that sometimes heats up and there's friction and the like and all the other stuff. So what? So what? There's not a single one of us here who hasn't been the one who's been the friction one. You know, the one who's in the wrong way. Every single one of us here has been that way, right? Is there any one of us who's been exempt from that? So why begrudge it of another who's having to experience it? Why begrudge it of another? You know why we begrudge it? It's freaking inconvenient when they're that way. And it causes us, provokes us to prayer and love on their behalf. Ow! Prayer and love on somebody else's behalf who's going through the same kind of thing I've been through? God forbid I should do that, right? Thank God God didn't forbid it. It's exactly what we're supposed to do. See, that part that sees the other person going through it and kind of likes it. I'm off the hot seat. They're on the hot seat. And we kind of like to chime in and join and keep them down and stuff like that because we've been there and everything like that. That's not love, folks. It's natural, easy, effortless, you might say. But it's not love. And I don't mean it in that sense that we don't say things that might provoke the friction. I don't mean that. But if we're going to say it, let it be in love for their sakes and not because we're enjoying somebody else getting picked on. You follow what I'm saying? So I share this. Look, it all begins with belief, and it all ends in love. And that's really the entire story. And every single one of us has fallen short, and so we can have compassion on one another. But the promise remains the same for each and every one of us. But you don't receive the promise unless and until you're willing to give up your life. You give up your life, then there's no limit. Even what we read Jesus did in the scripture is not a limit to what you can do. Because he said to those that believe on him that you'll do the works that he did, yea, far greater works. Now think of that word for a moment. Jesus is a pretty high standard, right? But he's saying you can do far greater works than even he did. Now, what happens, the key on that is to believe on, which means you're going to have to grapple and recognize your unbelief and get shed of it. And you get shed of it by humbling yourself. That's how you get shed of it, because that's where you receive the truth and you can put it off. And that's where you then become those things that were once a problem for you become a thing that become a blessing to another. And that's the gospel, folks. Amen.
You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, who has shown forth graces of Him, who has called you
Christ the risen Lamb.
All the Christ the risen Lamb.
Ever sits
upon the throne.
And sits upon the throne.
Tender mercies for his own.
Tender mercies for his own.
I praise you now, O risen Lamb.
Praise you now, O risen Lamb.
You're the solid rock on which I stand.
Solid rock on which I stand.
The solid rock on which I stand. Day after day I will praise your name. In everything I will be glad. For by your grace you save me. And on your every word I will be dead. You're the solid rock on which I stand.
Solid rock on which I stand.
On Christ the risen Lamb.
On Christ the risen Lamb. Upon the throne.
Tender mercies for his own.
Tender mercy for his own.
I praise you now, O risen Lamb.
Praise you now, O risen Lamb.
For the solid rock on which I stand.
Solid rock on which I stand.
The solid rock on which I stand. Day after day I will praise your name.
On which I stand.
Father Christ, the risen Lamb.
Father Christ, the risen Lamb.
Lamb sits upon the throne.
Lamb sits upon the throne.
Tender mercies for his own.
Tender mercies for his own.
I praise you now, O risen Lamb.
Praise you now, O risen Lamb. Solid rock on which I stand.
You're the solid rock on which I stand. You're the solid rock on which I stand.
Solid rock on which I stand.
Father Christ, the risen Lamb.
Father Christ, the risen Lamb.
The Lamb sits upon the throne.
The Lamb sits upon the throne.
Tender mercies for his own.
Tender mercies for his own.
I praise you now, O risen Lamb. You're the solid rock on which I stand.
Solid rock on which I stand.
The solid rock on which I stand.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer.
Let's do one more. How about one of Daddy's favorites? But I'm thankful.
Why I sing and shout. You ask me why I'm thankful when this world is full of doubt. You ask me what I've found that makes me feel this way. I found it at the mourner's bench when I began to pray. Something in my heart that I can shout about. Thankful cause he heard my prayers and answered me that day. I'm thankful cause he saved me in a good old-fashioned way. Told me about a man that walked the shores of Galilee. Opened up the blinded eyes of them that could not see. He told me that he healed the sick and made the dumb to talk. He also said unto the lame, take up thy bed and walk. That is why I'm thankful. That's why I sing. God put something in my heart that I can shout about.
the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer.
Father, we thank you for bringing us together and for the word you've given us today. And Lord, we ask forgiveness, Lord, that you have mercy upon us, Lord, for our unbelief and for our unwillingness many times to truly give up our lives for you. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll work with each of us and have grace on each of us and strengthen and fortify our wills to come into conformance to do thy will. And may we grow in love and brotherly affection one for another. In Jesus' name, amen.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.